following is an unrehearsed interview with Woody Smith of Arlington, Carlisle County, Kentucky, for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview was conducted by John Marshall in Mr. Smith's home in Arlington on July 18, 1978, at approximately 10:30 a.m. Where were you born? You were born in Obion, Tennessee.
Obion, Tennessee.
And what year was that, Mrs. Smith?
That was in 1908.
Uh-huh. And what was your father's name and your mother's name?
Will Smith. That's my father's name. And my mother's name is Effie Smith.
And your mother is still living?
Yeah, that was her out there.
Yeah. She's... 95 years old, you said?
95 years old.
Yeah. And when was your father born?
I can't tell right now.
Uh-huh.
Now, I was thinking, if I'd have known, I would have got all this together.
Yeah. When your mother and your father were both from Obion, Tennessee?
No, my mother was from here.
Oh, she was from Arlington?
From Hickman County.
From Hickman County.
Hickman County, yeah. Yeah. And my dad was raised in, he was born in Tennessee, around Huntington, between Huntington and Jackson, a little place called Cedar Grove.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And when you were about 1 year old, I think you said, you and your mother and father moved up here.
Uh-huh. And after they married and went to Obion,
uh-huh.
Tennessee.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 1909, they moved into this area.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be about right?
That's right. That's about right.
And where did they move when they came in here?
Hickman County.
Into Hickman County?
Hickman County. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's Spring Hill.
And you were living on a farm then out there?
Yeah, we lived on the farm plumbing up until about 30 years ago.
30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then you moved into?
I sold my farm and moved to Clemmon.
Uh-huh.
See, I stayed over there on the highway, run that barbecue place over there for about 12, 15 years.
Now that place, it's now called Nicky's.
Nicky's, right.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And you ran that for 12 or 15 years?
Yeah.
I see. And that's when you moved off the farm to run that barbecue place.
That's right. Now, I moved in a little place up there on the hill, up there at the Y.
All right. Yeah.
And had a little old barbecue place, and then it burned down, and that's when I built that place on the highway.
Uh-huh. Near Harper's there, that Nicky's.
Near Harper's.
Yeah.
And I've been barbecuing ever since, I don't know when it was, you might know, when Barkley run for state representative.
No, I don't know that.
It's down in history, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when Barkley run for state representative. That's been a long time.
That's when you first started barbecuing.
That's when my dad turned it over to me.
Oh, was your father running this little barbecue stand at the Y there?
No.
That was
and
yours?
That's after he had died.
Oh.
Well, that was way back before then when Barkley run for state representative.
Uh-huh. That's when you started barbecuing.
Yeah, that's when I started barbecuing. He turned the barbecue in over to me.
Yeah. What, now, when do you think, or how do you think your father picked up barbecuing? Did he ever tell you anything about it or how he learned?
Well, he barbecued around for different people. They'd give picnics, barbecues uh-huh. during the summer.
Yeah.
And he just started from that and just picked it up and just kept on. And he'd barbecue for white and he'd barbecue for anybody that wanted.
Uh-huh. Now, did they call these occasions barbecues?
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah, old-fashioned country barbecues.
Yeah, and they'd have them, at churches?
No, they'd have them at churches and they'd have them out in the woods lot like Vaughn's Grove and... I have had them, they have had them in tobacco barns.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Tobacco
barns. Just anywhere. At one time out there at Spring Hill, you know where Spring Hill is?
Yeah.
At one time.
Well, tell me about how many miles it is from a place that is still there. See, Spring Hill really isn't on a map.
isn't on the map.
No.
Well, it's about 4 miles from the Y. I get to Spring Hill Y.
Right.
Yeah, it's about 4 miles from there, back.
On Highway 80.
Yeah, 80.
Uh-huh.
And then you turn off on a little road and go that. Yeah, Spring Hill is on 80.
Right, east of Arlington.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is east this way. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there were some barbecues out there.
We give barbecues, I guess big barbecues three or four times a year,
mm-hmm.
especially on holidays, like 4th of July and 8th of August, and the 15th of August was the main time.
Now, why was the 15th of August such a...
That was when the North and the South had war, and that's when the colored people was free.
Oh, I thought that was the 8th of August.
No, 15th of August.
Oh.
And they celebrated, they couldn't all celebrate it in different towns the same time, so they have 8th of August in Paducah, 8th of August in Hickman, and they have 15th mm-hmm. of August in Columbus.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay.
And that, and that's the time that...
it was Emancipation Day.
The colored people could get to Columbus while they were free.
Yeah. Right.
And I have a picture of my mother's grandmother, and she was a slave.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's my mother up there now. I mean, a picture.
Oh, that's...
Mm-hmm. When she was young.
That's nice.
If I can see this picture, let me show it to you.
Sure. We'll get back to talking about how... Can you remember how your father taught you particular... methods and particular aspects of barbecuing?
By sitting up with him at night,
mm-hmm.
just watching him ever since I was 5-6 years old. And when he'd go to barbecue for picnics or something like that, he'd carry me. I'd want to go. Mm-hmm. He'd to set up with him. Back in those days, they'd have a big iron pot. They'd make a big stew that night about 12, 1 o'clock. Why? We'd eat.
Mm. That was for the people who were working on the barbecue. They'd
right.
eat at 12 or 1 o'clock.
Right.
I see. Well, can you explain to me, sort of step by step, the way your father would go about barbecuing?
Well,
I mean, like you mentioned before, that he would get a sheep.
Yeah. He would dig a pit, mm-hmm. stretch a wire, and build, and go to the woods and get... The kind of wood they want to have to barbecue,
mm-hmm.
and bring it up there and build a fire, mm-hmm. and then he'd go get the sheep and we'd kill it and put it right on the pit.
Okay.
And then from then on, we just sit and cook it all night.
Yeah.
By daylight, it was ready.
Yeah. Now, you said he dug a pit. About how big a pit would he dig?
For just one sheep, mm-hmm. or it'll be about 4 by 6.
All right. 4 foot wide.
Yeah. About 4 foot wide.
4 foot wide and 6 foot long.
6 foot long.
Uh-huh.
That would take care of one sheep.
One sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
we put sticks in him to turn him over.
Well, explain that for me. What do you mean you put sticks in him?
We sharpen sticks and put 2 sticks on each side of him. That's to turn him over.
Mm-hmm.
We take him that way.
Yeah.
And turn him over.
Okay. Let me see how I can explain that. You take a... Did the stick have bark on it?
No. We would sharpen some sticks.
You'd strip the bark off of them.
You strip the bark off of them.
Uh-huh.
And in other words, we would use tobacco sticks.
Oh, okay.
You've seen tobacco
sure.
sticks. And we'd sharpen one of those. I'd just stick it right through the...
The sheep, through his body.
Sheep. Yeah, through his body.
Okay.
One on each side.
One on each side.
And
one at the front of his body where his head is, at the shoulders actually.
No, the long way.
Oh, long way.
Through the shoulder and through the ham.
Uh-huh.
One on each side where he could, and then have enough to turn
over. I get
over.
You. So he's almost flat out.
He was flat out.
He was flat out.
Yeah.
Okay. And let me see. Then you said you'd go up and you'd get some wood.
That's before it started. He'd do that morning. We'd be working until Saturday dinner.
Okay.
Now he'd be off He'd go to the woods that morning and get his bark and have him get his pit ready, his fire built, and then he'd already have the sheep, you know. He'd get that yeah. morning too, hang it up, and dress it, and put it right on the pit.
What sort of special preparations did he have for the sheep? When he'd get the sheep, would he kill the sheep himself, or was it already?
Oh yeah, when Barker run for state representative, we killed about 20 or 30 sheep, just me and him.
Yeah.
As we killed them, we'd dress them and lay them on the back end of a truck, put the sticks in them, and put them on the back end of the truck and carry them and put them on the pit as we killed them.
Is that right?
And all of some time, I mean, that pit was almost as long as we had that house.
That's about 20, 30 yards.
But anyway, yeah. It'd be about 150 feet long,
uh-huh.
or maybe sometime be 200 feet long. Yeah.
Well, all right, let's go back to when he's just barbecuing one sheep, and he'd get the sheep and he'd kill it. What would he do? He'd cut its throat and break its neck?
Hang it up and cut its throat.
He'd hang it up upside down and cut its throat?
Yeah, upside, let its head swing down, uh-huh. and pull his head back and just cut his throat.
Yeah.
And then he would, if it was a male sheep, he cut his bag off and pour cold water in it. And if it was a female, he cut her bag off and pour it full of cold water.
Yeah.
That's in order to take the animal heat out and it'd make it easy to skin.
If you cut off the genital parts of the sheep and you pour cold water in it.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Uh-huh. Pour cold water. Just pour it full of cold water.
Just fill up the sheep with cold water.
Uh-huh. That's
Is
right.
that before you cut its stomach open?
That's after.
Oh,
you do that.
You cut its stomach open first.
No, you cut his throat.
All right.
And then you cut a hole up there, cut the bag off.
Right.
And cut a hole in there and open it up and pour it full of water.
Yeah. Okay. And then what?
And then we would skin it.
All right.
And then gut it.
All right.
And cut it, and then we'd cut it, of course we cut his head off.
Yeah.
And cut his feet off. And lay him out and take an axe and hack it down where he could spread out flat.
Break his, the tendons that are holding his body down.
Yeah. So it's either cooked up and so it'd be just laying out flat. And just lay him right on the pit.
Yeah.
And long later years, they didn't use anything. Just open. And later years, we went to covering it up. And then later years, we built pits.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You said that when you dug this pit, say we're talking about for one sheep now, how deep would the pit be?
Oh, it would be about, about 18 inches.
18 inches.
Yeah.
And what do you use to dig it? Just a shovel?
With a shovel, yeah.
And when he was... let me see. When he would get his wood for his fire, would he build that fire up outside the pit like they do nowadays, or inside the pit?
He'd build it outside the pit and dig and get coals. And he got when they put the sheep on, he started putting the fire on.
So there was there was never a roaring fire in the pit.
No,
it was always just coals in the pit.
No, just coals.
Uh-huh.
You don't never use a blaze. Blaze would make it too. Would burn it up.
Okay, and what type of wood did he prefer to use?
Oak and hickory.
Was there a particular kind of oak that he liked best?
Red oak.
Red oak.
Red oak.
And you called it bark. Is that because there was a lot of, why was there so much bark in this area? Was there a lot of bark?
Oh yeah, you could go to the woods back in those days, and you know why people cut down trees and get a lot of this old red oak bark. And well, when he couldn't get enough of that, he just used the wood.
Yeah.
And well, he used wood too.
Yeah.
With the bark.
Use it both.
Huh? Yeah, use it both.
Why did he prefer red oak and hickory? You know?
Well, in other words, it has a different flavor from any other wood, and you take other wood don't have the coals.
Oh, I see.
Don't hold the coals.
Uh-huh. This wood burns down and makes better coals.
Now, hickory, of colds will last longer than red oak.
Uh-huh. But the red oak flavor is good, you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
And hickory, you can take green hickory and put it in the stove, and you can see that leukemia coming out. And taste of it, it'll be have a taste to it.
Leukemia?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
That's the stuff that, I think that's what they call it, that comes out of the wood.
Is it like a sap sort of
thing? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and that gives it a distinct flavor.
Yeah, that green hickory gives it the flavor.
Green hickory is better than seasoned hickory, is it?
Green hickory is better than seasoned hickory.
Oh, I didn't know that. What about oak? Does it
oak
make
the same way.
Green oak's better than seasoned?
That's right. All green wood that you cook with is better than dead wood.
Mm-hmm.
Because the coals won't last as long.
With the old wood?
That's right.
They last longer with the
with
new
green.
Wood.
Yeah.
Now, you said that you take this sheep and put it flat out on a wire.
Yeah.
What sort of wire?
American wire. American, just take the American wire fence.
Uh-huh, just a fence.
Yeah.
Ordinary fence.
Ordinary fencing wire.
Yeah.
Of course, they have different widths of American wire. We get some, they have 4 foot and they have 5 foot. And just different height, pulling up until you can't reach the top.
Yeah.
Of course, we get some just about the same width of the sheep. Back in those days, they had plenty of them.
Yeah. When did you, how did you fasten that wire? Did you fasten the wire over the pit?
Oh, drove a stick down in the ground and hooked it over. You know, they got stays.
Yeah.
And pulled it real tight and hooked it over them stays. And then we put some iron bars across to hold it up.
When you wanted to put the coals in?
No. Put the coals in the side.
Oh, I see. You just leave room underneath the top of the wire and the
pit. Yeah, see, it'll be probably that tall, and you can get your shovel in there and put your coals in under the sheet.
Okay, I see. You just leave room between the dirt and the wire.
Right, right.
Okay. Was that always done, leaving room between the dirt and the wire?
Uh-huh, always done.
Okay.
You see, you couldn't put coals in those.
I was wondering about that, whether or not you left a hole at one end and shoveled in.
Well,
you know,
and if it had room, you could just put it down through the stave. You know, they had a mash of the stave, you know. Some of it was six and plumb out until chicken wire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coals would go through it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. They would go through it.
Yeah.
Okay. So this, what you're describing for me, this method of cooking this sheep, was that a common method of barbecuing?
Yeah, that's the common way of doing it.
Were there many people in this area, say when you were growing up, who knew how to do a sheep, or who did a sheep that way?
Not too many.
Do you know why? Why some did and some didn't?
Well, it just like it is today, some people like to do it and some people didn't.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I can remember, let's see, two or three people that could cook that way.
Could cook?
Could cook.
Not wood, but could.
Could cook with wood.
Yeah.
Like we did.
Now you, all right, see, a minute ago you said some people were interested in doing it and some people weren't interested in doing it, but then you implied that some people could do it better than others.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a bit of skill involved too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, where does the skill come in?
Well, you just have to learn it. You just have to learn how to do it and how many coals, how much coals, how much heat you got to have and how long to cook it and not get it too hot.
Okay, how far did you say the wire was from the coals?
About 18 inches.
About 18 inches.
Mm-hmm.
The sheep was about 18 inches from the coals.
Yeah.
And what sort of heat does that throw off? Is it...
Well, you can...
can you touch the animal, the beast, while it's cooking?
Oh, yeah, sometimes. I mean, until it gets almost done.
Uh-huh.
Then you can touch it, but you couldn't lay your hands on it while it's cooking.
Uh-huh. So it's not... It doesn't really scorch him, does it?
Uh-uh. No.
Very slow cooking.
Very slow, very slow, very slow.
Okay, what time of the day, say, would your father put this sheep over the coals?
Oh, he would put it on there, I say, about 6 o'clock.
6 p.m.
About 6 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And he would cook it all night, coming up about 9 o'clock the next day, it was ready to serve.
The next morning.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
Oh, and what did he have to do? He stayed with it, didn't he?
Yeah,
he didn't go to the house and leave.
No, you just have to stay with it.
Yeah,
just like you do now. You have to stay with it. Because the blaze catch up now and burn the building up.
That's right.
Because the hotter it gets, the more grease comes out of it.
Uh-huh.
You just barely want the grease to drip out, drip.
You have to stay with it all night.
Yeah, you have to stay with it all night.
What do you do while you're staying with it all night?
You sit up there and eat popcorn and wait for the next to get on.
Wait for the next.
Yeah. We would cut the neck off to have us a feast for the night.
Oh, I see.
For over in the night.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, that was good thinking.
Mm-hmm.
How often do you turn the sheep when it's over the coals?
Oh, well, just one sheep, you can turn it as many times as you want to, two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, I don't turn it but once.
What's the difference?
Well, the difference is why the often you turn it, the better it is. The quicker it'll get on.
Well, why do you only turn it once nowadays?
Well, you have so much of it. So much of it.
I see.
And when my dad turned it, with his big picnics, we'd probably turn it twice.
Uh-huh.
Because it was easy to turn. All you have to do is just pick up them sticks and...
Right, put one arm over the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll reach over there and...
And you did this twice.
Yeah, about twice.
If I was going to get you to barbecue a sheep for me in this old method of doing it, okay, the kind that you're describing to me, how many times do you think you'd turn the sheep?
About twice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You'd put him on the pit, and then how many hours later?
About 5-6 hours.
Five
later.
Or 6 hours later, you turn him over once.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's one time.
Yeah. And then about time it got on, you turn it back.
Then
we would mop it. Of course, they don't mop meat like they used to now.
Yeah, I want you to explain that to me, too. I like the idea of that. I think that's really good.
And when you mop, the last time you turn it over, and when it's real, real hot and cooking, you baste it then.
Uh-huh. And you used to baste it with a mop.
Yeah.
You dip your mop
in the sauce.
In the sauce.
Yeah. The first time, you would put salty water on it.
I didn't know that. Now this is just, go ahead and explain it.
Just about time the sheep got hot, you would mop it, turn it over and mop it with salt water. That's in order to make the salt go in the meat.
Yeah.
And then just about time it got on, you would baste it with barbecue sauce.
Okay. Now, if we're talking about, say, starting to cook a sheep, what size sheep are we talking about? How many pounds? It doesn't matter.
I cooked a quarter of a beef weighed 150 pounds. And you talk about something good.
Did you do it the same way, same amount of time?
No, it takes about 24 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, suppose we're talking about cooking a 50-pound sheep, 40-pound sheep?
Oh, it would be small. It would cook quick because
okay.
That would be a small one. I say,
well, when
100 pound is a large sheep. It would take about 15 or 16 hours to cook it.
When your father would put one on at 6 and then it'd be ready about 8 or 9 the next day.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we're talking about 15 hours or so.
15 or 16
hours,
So
we're talking about 100-pound sheep?
Yeah, about 100-pound sheep.
Okay. Now, when would you first baste it with the salt water?
Just as soon as it got hot. As soon as the sheep got probably hot through and through while the seasoning would soak in.
Well, that would be just after about a few hours, wouldn't it?
Just a few hours. Just about 3 or 4 hours.
Uh-huh.
You'd baste it with that salt water, see.
On one side or both sides?
Both sides.
Yeah.
And then and just about time it got in, turn it over the last time, you would mop it.
With the sauce?
With the sauce.
Was there anything in the water besides salt?
Just salt water.
And you got, can you tell me what was in your sauce, or is that a secret?
Well, I wouldn't care to tell you.
Yeah, well, I understand that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those recipes are worth a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
But you would, did you use a different sauce?
Yeah, the regular barbecue sauce. When you go down here and get a sandwich, you put the barbecue sauce on it. That's the way they do these days and time.
Yeah. Well, what was it? Was it done like that before?
No, it was basted. Of course, if you wanted more on it, you could put some more on.
Yeah, but what they would do is they would make up a sauce, and they'd put the mop in it.
Yeah.
When the sheep was just about turned, and then they'd baste the sheep on both sides.
Yeah.
On both sides. And then they'd put the sheep down and let it cook a little while with that.
Well, let it cook, to get it about half done, and then turn it, and that's when you want to turn it over.
Yeah.
And then when you turn it back the last time,
yeah,
while you put your sauce on there.
Okay. And
your seasoning,
that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, how much longer do you let it cook after you put your sauce on?
Oh, I guess about 3 or 4 hours.
3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, because it's almost done anyway.
Yeah.
If you start to baste in it before and let that cook all night, it'll be real dark. You know that.
Yeah, it'll be hard too.
You can't, just the minute people don't know. The minute they start cooking, they start mopping. They start mopping. They'll mop from pummel up until when that's too much.
Yeah. You baste it and then you let it go on and cook for another 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, and then it's done. Right?
Yeah.
And let's see. What did you usually do with it then?
Just let it stay on there and serve it from there.
I see.
After it gets done.
Just let the coals go on and die down. Just don't feed the coals anymore.
Just keep enough heat in under there to keep the flies and things off of it.
Yeah. Oh, I see. All right. Now, if you're going to barbecue a pig,
we do it the same way.
Exactly the same?
Exactly the same way.
Did you ever cut holes in the sheep or the pig or whatever you're cooking in order to get the sauce or the basting to run through it better?
No.
Okay. Did you ever stick anything in, any seasoning or spicy thing in it before you started cooking it?
No.
Uh-huh. Before you were telling me when you first killed the sheep, you hang it upside down and you cut its throat, and you skin it and you pour the cold water down.
No. You pull the cold water in before you skin it.
Oh, right.
And then you skin it.
I'm sorry. Okay. You cut its throat, pour the cold water in it, then you skin it, then you gut it.
Yeah.
All right. And then you let it hang. Is that right?
Yeah, let it hang there until you get ready for it. When you get ready, and then always have a big block there to cut the shanks off, the feet off, and then you...
And to cut the head and neck off.
Yeah, head and neck off, and then you split it up and down the backbone, just so you don't split it plumb through. Just enough to hold it together.
Yeah.
And then you stick your sticks in there.
Yeah.
And then lay it on the pit.
Okay.
Skin side up.
Ah, good. Skin side up.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what do you mean by that? Explain that for me.
See, that's the inside down.
Uh-huh. So we're going to put the back and the outside part of the sheep's body out.
Out.
Right.
Up.
Right. So the first bit that goes down is sort of the most of the bone and stuff.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, the inside.
Yeah, the inside.
Okay. Was there ever any particular amount of time that you'd let the sheep hang?
No.
You could put it on within 10 minutes if you were ready?
Put it on within 10 minutes if you was ready.
Yeah.
Of course, we'd always be ready when we gutted it.
Yeah.
When we dressed it.
Yeah.
And then we put this, lay it out, and put them sticks through it. And then we'd hack it up and down the backbone, put the sticks through it, and then lay it on the pit.
Yeah. And this is how you learned to do it from your father?
Yeah.
You used to do a lot of them, huh?
A lot of them.
Yeah. Well,
we cook for picnics, and then we cook down here for the 15th of August. That's the big day.
Down at
Columbus.
You used to cook at Columbus?
Oh, yeah. And all those political, used to they have political picnics, you mm-hmm. know, bands and...
Okay.
And they'll, in between speaking, they would have those bands playing, you know.
And you used to barbecue at those?
Yeah.
And where were some of those held?
Vaughn's Grove.
Yeah.
You know where Vaughn's Grove
is? I've heard of it. I don't know where it is.
Vaughn's Grove and, let me see now. Well, just different places.
Uh-huh. Where is Vaughn's Grove?
It's on the old Spring Hill Road.
Yeah.
Going toward between Spring Hill and Clinton.
Uh-huh.
And we used to cook for the Farm Bureau. They mm-hmm. used to cook all, just a whole lot of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly, way back in those days, we didn't barbecue no pork much. Just all
mutton. Is that
mutton.
Right? Did you ever make any distinction between mutton and lamb?
Mutton and lamb. Well, it's all the same. It's just like veal and beef.
Mutton's just a little bit older.
Just a little bit older.
Is there any? Do you know? Is there any amount of time that it's older? Like, is it?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter about the time. Just so they fat. I'd rather have an old sheep than a young lamb.
Why was that?
Because it's more lean meat in a old sheep than it is a lamb.
Sure. Yeah. Makes sense. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you get more meat out of a old sheep than you do a lamb. Because then it's just like veal and beef.
Yeah.
And anything that's poor, it's not worth barbecuing.
Mm. When you you and your father, excuse me, or you used to help your father barbecuing at all these places. About how old were you when you first started learning about barbecuing from your father?
I was about, I guess about 12 or 13 years old.
So it's about 1920 or 21.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah, back then.
Okay. And he was he the only one in this area who was called on to go barbecue at these places, or were there other people who barbecued too?
Well, there was others that barbecued. He would get them to help him.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. It would take three or four of us.
Yeah.
Two on this side, farm, and two on the other side. We'd go down, just start, and have a fire on each side, long pits, you know.
Yeah.
It had a whole lot to barbecue. Of course, when we barbecued one, one could do it
sure.
by itself.
Yeah.
You have three or four sheep, one could do it, or two could do it.
Yeah.
But when you have those great big picnics like the Farm Bureau and these big political picnics, we'd have, I guess, 30, 40 sheep,
yeah.
15, 20, and on back of that. And we'd have about four, two on each side. Going down, barn, all the way down.
Now,
then we'd sit down and wait until the next time, get up and fire it again.
And how long would it be between times when you'd have to fire?
About every hour.
About every hour you'd
put? About every hour.
Distribute some more coals.
Yeah. Of course, you could cook it quicker than that, but that's about the time.
If you cook it too quickly, well...
It would be tough.
Yeah, right. That's the secret, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also, sometimes meat tends to break up, doesn't it?
Break up. Just fall off the bone?
Yeah.
But that's when it's cooked.
That's when it's cooked.
It's really cooked. It's well cooked.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought that sometimes if you burned it too much
on the outside, some of that outside would fall off, and the inside isn't cooked yet.
No, it ain't gonna fall off.
Yeah.
Now you can cook it too quick.
Yeah.
Brown it on the inside. Brown it before it's cooked.
Yeah.
It takes it longer, and it ain't as good.
Yeah.
It just cooking meat. That's the reason why we can't cook frozen meat. You take a pork shoulder. It take that shoulder, if you put it on the pit, it'll take that shoulder as long to thaw out as it will to cook, because it's just like a thermos jug.
Yeah.
You take a thermos jug, and it can be, you can have ice in a thermos jug.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's got all that plastic thing in it, the heat can't come out, while it has to stay cold on the inside a long time.
Yeah.
And if you take a frozen shoulder, if you get hot all the way around, it'll stay cold on there.
Yeah.
Stay cold a long time. Takes it a long time to thaw out. But ain't been too long ago, they had a microwave oven. And if they got a frozen shoulder, they put it in this microwave oven. That's what you call it, man.
Yeah.
Microwave.
Yeah.
And it starts from the inside and comes out. You understand what I mean?
Yeah. So that would enable you to go ahead and cook
it. It would thaw out quicker.
Yeah.
Won't take it long to thaw out.
Yeah. Well, did you ever go to a barbecue where? Well, let me ask you something else. Let me go back a little bit. When your father was doing barbecues for political rallies and for, I believe you said church suppers too?
Yeah, church suppers, uh-huh. Yeah.
And just what they call barbecues.
Yeah.
And homecomings. You said he did the August 15th homecoming.
Yeah.
Was he paid?
Oh, yeah. He was paid.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he was really, that was really a commercial business there for him?
Yeah, for him, yeah.
Just like it is for you nowadays.
That's right.
Except that people come to you now, and he used to go around and cook.
Yeah, they would come to us and say, "Want such and such, or want barbecue for a picnic." But he really done it pretty well all the time. Farm Bureau was in operation.
Yeah, where was that Farm Bureau picnic held?
It's the White School in Clinton, Central School, and. That's about the only place they'd had it,
that
I can remember. And probably they'd have it out there at Farns Grove. That was the main barbecue place, Farns Grove.
Huh.
It was pretty. It had great big trees in it, and just as clean as this.
Huh.
Just clean. I can remember when Obine Bottom, you could see it might get a half a mile through the trees.
Really?
Yeah. And it was just as clean because people had hogs and cattle running in there. And the big trees, wasn't none of them cut out.
Mm-hmm. What was, were other people paid besides your father?
Yeah.
So if somebody called on him to go cook for one and he needed some help, those people would expect to be paid too.
Yeah, all of them was paid.
Yeah. Were there ever many barbecues where he cooked, where people did it for nothing? Was there ever a community thing?
Oh no. We always got paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Without it was a church supper, something other like that.
Oh, he didn't get paid for those?
No, well, he just did it for the church.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be but about one or two sheep or something like that.
Yeah. Was there much beef barbecued?
Mm-mm. I can't remember any beef at all until these late years.
Most of it was sheep.
For the last, for the last 10 or 15, 20 years.
Well, there's not much, there's not many sheep raised around this area nowadays.
No. Used to. Every farmer in the county had sheep, and you'd get a sheep for about $4, $5, $6, cull sheep, but they were fat.
Well, that was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where do you have to get Do you barbecue much mutton nowadays?
Not as much mutton as I do pork, because there's not as many.
Sure. They want it.
Of course, a lot of people want it, but you can't get it.
Oh, is that the problem?
That's the problem, and when you get it, some of it's not worth barbecuing. It's too poor.
When did you decide to? Well, you said that you helped your father barbecuing as you were growing up, and then you started farming yourself, didn't you?
Oh yeah.
Did you barbecue while you were farming?
Oh yeah, I'd go around different places after maybe on Saturday somebody would get me to cook some barbecue for them.
Yeah.
And then when I lived out on the farm, I decided to start barbecuing. Started a barbecue pit myself.
Yeah.
Built it myself and up here on the Y, and the barbecue there till it burnt down.
Now that Y is, you're talking about the Y on Highway 80, aren't you?
Yeah, going to 80.
Yeah.
What we call it, the Y, it's, they have picnic tables over there, road going to Clinton,
yeah,
and road coming to Arlington, and the main, and 80 goes.
Yeah, right.
In the Spring Hill, Cypress, and out there to
Waterfield, eventually.
To Waterfield Drive.
Yeah, okay. And that's where you had a pit, and you built it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What year was that, you know? About how old were you?
I was in the 50s.
You were in your 50s?
I was in my late 40s.
Late 40s?
Yeah, late 40s.
Okay.
And then, I'm 68 years old, 69.
Yeah.
Right now, 69.
Yeah. When you decided to move from farming into what was really a business enterprise, like barbecue stand, what did you think about it? I mean, it must have been a big decision.
Oh, I consulted with my wife, and then I decided things is cheap then. I decided it would make me money. Mm. I knew it would make me money.
Yeah.
I started out with 2 shoulders and a quarter of a sheep.
Yeah.
Got rid of them and started from there.
Yeah.
Just kept climbing.
Did you advertise to let people know you were there, or did the word just spread?
Oh, the word just spread, and right there on the road anyway.
Yeah, right.
And pretty well, you can pretty well ask all of those boys out there. That would be the last stop they'd make. They'd be out on Saturday night, and all through the week, and that would be the last stop. Stop at my barbecue pit.
Yeah.
Going home.
Yeah. Well, did you... When you first started your barbecuing, had you been helping your father all the way up into that time?
Yeah.
Your father was still alive then when you opened your barbecue pit.
Oh, yeah.
Did he help you with that?
No. I tell you, when he would be around, but he never would. He was getting pretty ageable then, and he wouldn't work. He just let me go head on.
Yeah.
Any mistakes made, that I would... that he seen me, I was going to make, he'd tell me.
Yeah. And so...
I just learned it. I just liked it. Just taking it up from mine, I just liked it. I really like to cook. I can cook, almost cook anything.
When you opened that shop, did you have to do the same as you used to have to do with when you're barbecuing out in the open? Did you have to... Where was your pit? Was it just out...
It was an indoors pit.
Uh-huh.
And it was made out of blocks, just like they're made out now,
uh-huh,
and covered up with tin.
Yeah. And you just put it under there, and the tin would reflect the heat back down.
Mm-hmm.
When did they start covering pits?
They started that. They used to have just ordinary tin. That's when they started cooking, covering it.
Yeah.
But later years, they built pits. The health department, you know, got in there, and now you have to have it up to date.
Yeah. Cover it up. Yeah. Has that affected the taste any, or the way it cooks?
Not too much if you cook it. It has a difference in there, because the steam, you know, comes down. And when it was out of open pit, all of that just went out, you know.
Well, if you, this is what I was going to ask you. If your pit was covered when you first opened this stove, shop at the Y, that meant that you had to, there was a different hours you had to cook.
Oh, yeah.
How did you know which hours you had to cook when you...
Well, if a person do that work long enough, he can pretty well tell. I can pretty well look at his shoulder and tell how many more hours I need to cook.
You can tell now if you're going to have to cook it on an open pit or if you're going to have to cook it on a covered pit.
Yeah.
Right? But when you first started cooking on a covered pit, I just wondered how you knew how many hours to give.
If you cook long enough, you can pretty well tell.
Just the gift.
Yeah. Just to give.
Uh-huh.
Well, you can tell, because I can tell just as good when the shit my far down, and that pit's going to stay hot till the next morning. Next morning, that shoulder will be all to pieces.
And you can shut your pit down, let the coals just burn.
Yeah.
Everything's covered up, and so that heat will stay in there.
That heat will stay in there and finish cooking. I do that now.
Well, what did you... So... You don't have to start cooking at 6 in the afternoon anymore and then have it ready by 9 in the next morning and stay up all night.
No.
I
put this meat on about 7 o'clock.
In the afternoon? Evening?
In the evening.
Uh-huh.
No, in the morning.
Oh.
We don't cook no more at night.
Oh, well, that's good, isn't it?
In the morning.
Yeah.
Put it on about 7 o'clock. And about 8 o'clock, I quit farming.
8 o'clock at night.
At night.
You put it on at 7 in the morning, and about 8 o'clock at night, you quit firing it.
Quit firing it and cooks the rest of the night.
And you just leave it there at night. The next morning, when you go in to start selling it, there it is, all cooked and ready to go.
Ready to go.
Well, that's good.
And if it needs cooking any longer, I can pretty well look at it and tell.
Yeah. Oh, that is handy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your pit must be pretty tight.
It is pretty tight.
It'd have to be tight to.
Yeah. You don't have to be too tight. You don't want it too tight. Because it'll create that steam, and that steam will create water. You understand what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, if you start cooking at 7 in the morning, and you can quit firing up your pit at 8 that night, mm-hmm. okay, then you've gone for, say, 13 hours.
Yeah. It's going to cook 3 or 4 hours longer, if not cook all night. And the next morning, your meat's still hot.
Yeah, I see. It cooks that extra few hours just on the heat that's already in there. Yeah. Well, that's good. How many times do you have to turn it between 7 in the morning and 8 at night?
We don't turn it but once.
Turn it once. What about basting it? Do you do anything like the salt and water?
These days and time, people have so many ulcers, and I can't. Maybe you can eat it. Sauce, and I can. You can eat it, and I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't baste it at all. If you come down and want 4 or 5 pounds, if you want sauce on it, we put sauce on it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, why? We won't put it on there. And if it's already on there, you can't take it out.
Yeah, right. If somebody if somebody gave you a shoulder and asked you to baste it, would you do that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And if do you ever use a salt and water bit?
No, because it. We barbecue so much, and it's so unhandy. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
We done cut it down to the short way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But do you're the pit that works right now? You're open Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That means you start barbecuing Wednesday morning.
Thursday morning.
Oh.
Thursday morning. I barbecue Wednesday morning right of this week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you... Well, then you don't sell any Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Now, it don't take chickens and ribs long to cook.
Yeah.
We have chickens and ribs.
Oh, Thursday's chickens and ribs day.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah.
But shoulders, they won't get done in time.
Okay. So, if somebody wanted to buy some barbecue at your place here in Arlington, on Thursdays they could get chickens and ribs, right. And then Fridays and Saturdays they could get mutton pork. Mostly pork.
Uh-huh.
How many people work at your place?
But down here now?
Yeah.
Oh, about just two of us.
Two of you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other man
and
is...
Of course, we need some more help, but...
The other man is just a friend of yours?
Well, he owns the place. He just got me cooking for him.
Oh, I see. He owns the place and you're cooking for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no need...
Now, at your other places, when you opened the place at the Y out here, were you the only man who's working there?
I cooked at night and served people in the daytime by myself,
mm-hmm.
until it got bigger, and then I had to have some help. My daughters helped me then.
Uh-huh.
Then I had some friends that would help me sometimes when I got in a strain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When you moved from the Y burned down, do you remember what year it burned down?
Not exactly.
Okay, so and you moved to the building where Nicky's is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what was that already a barbecue place there?
No,
you bought it up?
He, Harper built it.
Uh huh.
Especially for me.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I rented the building from him.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's good. You
reckon?
Okay. I'm interested in how you ran the pit by yourself here at the Y, and then you moved to Nicky's.
Yeah.
You don't know what year that was, though.
Not exactly. I could pretty well, if I had time to,
work it out.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. If you were in your late 40s when you moved into the Y, that would have made it about 19 and...
Well, see, I stayed on that Y.
40 or 50.
About 4 or 5 years.
So, we're up to about 55 or 6 now. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Did you move to Nicky's in the about late 50s, early 60s?
Yeah, about the late 50s.
Late 50s.
Yeah.
And you barbecued there about 10 years, is that right?
Yeah, 10 years or better.
Mm-hmm. And did you didn't run Nicky's by yourself?
No, I had to have plenty of help.
Yeah, that's a big place.
I worked the extra hand and my daughter and another boy to help me all the time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, was there a pit there at Nicky's? Is it just out back?
Yeah, it's out back.
Is it the concrete block and the...
Concrete block, and it's got two 30-foot pits in there.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How big's your pit down here in Arlington?
I got two about... 12-foot pit.
Yeah. Two 30-foot pits, I mean.
Yeah.
That's big, isn't it?
Yeah.
Business was good?
Oh, yeah. At one time, the most I have cooked was 50 shoulders.
Good night.
One person at one time.
For one person?
I carried 500 pounds to Lexington at the Kennel Racetrack.
Really? Mm-hmm. When did you do that?
That was about... 6-7 years ago, maybe 8. It was in 71 when I carried 500 pounds at one time to Kimmel Racetrack in Lexington.
Well, that was good. How did you get into that?
Some people that knew me wanted some barbecue then, and I heard about that. Yeah.
Well, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you leave Nicky's? Leave that building?
Leave that building? Been about 2 years ago.
2 years
Nicky's
ago.
Nicky's been there about 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you were there up until...
About 2 or 3 years.
Well, you were there longer than 10 years then.
Oh, well, yeah, I imagine so.
Yeah.
I said about 15 or 16 years, I guess
that's about right.
Yeah.
And about 2 years ago, then did you move into this place, or is this place just...
No, I I moved away from there, and I cooked for him for about, I guess about 6-8 months.
For Nikki?
Mm-hmm. Then I didn't do any work for several years. I mean, coming up until this year.
Yeah.
I mean, last year. I think it's Christmas when I started down here.
Christmas down here, you started Arlington again. Yeah. Uh-huh. And is that a, is business picking up there? Is that going to be all right?
Oh, yeah.
You haven't been in it long, though.
Good, though.
Okay. When you first started, when you opened your first place at the Y, and then when you moved to Nikki's, and you moved to the present place in Arlington, where did you get your, what was your source of meat? Where did you get your meat?
Well, when I was over there at Nikki's, well, we just got it from different places. And of course, Harpy, he gets hams for the truck loads, and he would get shoulders, and I'd go up there. Well, it'd be handy all the time,
because
he had big walk-ins. I could go up there. If I needed 10 shoulders, well, I'd just go right up there and get them. If I needed another shoulder, if somebody come in rather than only the shoulder, ordered, I could get it. But before then, I got it from Mexico, got it from Real Foot Packing Company, and got it from Tupelo, Mississippi. What's the name of that?
I don't know. Out of Tupelo.
Real Foot. That big packing house there.
I haven't heard of it.
Out of Tupelo, Mississippi.
Hmm. And they just come up 51 here.
Oh, yeah.
Up it off. You never were supplied locally?
No, because the
I mean, you know.
You'd have to have a government stamp on it.
Yeah, they wouldn't let you.
Uh-huh. But you brought your own meat.
Now right. Yeah. Now, if somebody wanted you to barbecue chickens, you could do that.
Yeah.
Plenty of chickens.
Yeah, plenty.
Yeah. How long does it take you to do chickens?
About 5 hours.
5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Do you turn them?
Same way with ribs, yeah.
Yeah. Ribs are about the same, 5 hours.
Ribs. Mm-hmm.
And you turn them too?
Turn them too.
It's the same way? Turn them, put them down, skin up, mm-hmm. and then turn them once?
Top side up.
And then turn them twice?
Yeah.
Once, twice. Back over so they end up skin down?
Yeah.
I mean, skin out?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Do you baste them? Well, you don't know.
Just as soon as they get on, if a person comes after them, you baste them while they're hot.
Yeah.
They're just as good.
Yeah. Okay. Now, are you aware of, like, there are other barbecue places around here?
Uh-huh.
Do you people
cooperate?
Yeah.
No. I mean,
there's no really no communication between you.
No communication. Just go ahead on our own.
Yeah, like there's I know Preacher Jones over in Columbus.
Yeah.
Talked to him. He's been barbecuing a while.
Yeah.
I don't think he's been barbecuing as long as you though.
Oh no.
No. And then there's there's just a new one up here outside of town.
Yeah. They just started here lately.
He opened up for his daughters, I think.
Yeah.
And there's Nikki's down there. I don't know who runs that now.
He does.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then there's another one up just south of... Oh, let's see.
Wycliffe.
Between Bardwell and Wycliffe, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what that
is. I think that's Summers, ain't it?
No, that's Summers is on 121.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Drapers is
it? Drapers, right. Yeah. Drapers.
And then they're going south. There's one at just off 51.
Grundy's.
Right. Grundy's.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get down to Fulton, and there are plenty of barbecue places.
Yeah.
But just along the road here, are there any others?
That's all.
Grundy's
and Nikki's and
Drapers and
Scott.
Scott's. Yeah. Yeah. Scott's daughters, I think.
Yeah. Right there.
Do you like think of yourself as being like the best in the area?
Well, I wouldn't say I was the best, but I wouldn't want to tell other people that I was the best. I'll just let the public
decide
on that.
Right. Okay. Are you proud of the work that you do? Can you?
Oh yeah, I'm proud of it and like to do it.
Yeah, you really like to cook.
Yeah, and I have taken several in and tried to teach them, but time has got so fast now that
people don't have the time to learn, do they?
They don't even have time to sit down. They don't sit. Go along that slope for 12, 15, 16 hours.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
How long has it been since you've cooked over an open pit, just out, so you got to stay up all night with it?
Oh, it's I imagine about 30 years, 30 or 40 years.
How long has it been since you've gone someplace and cooked for someone else rather than have them come to your establishment?
Oh, it haven't been for about 20 years. I've cooked for Fancy Farm Picnic.
Oh, I see.
And I've cooked for St. Denis, St. Charles.
Yeah.
I used to go around with Mr. Mark Woodfork. That's another fellow that used to be. And George Pearl.
Who were they?
They are old barbecues, but they was in a different county than what I was.
Were they white men?
The following is the second tape of the interview with Woody Smith of Arlington, Carlisle County, Kentucky.
Okay, now who are the two old barbecuers again? I'm sorry.
It was Mark Woodfork and George Pearl.
And where did they live?
Milburn.
Uh-huh. And are they still alive?
No. Yeah.
Are there any people still alive who are, do traditional methods of barbecuing like you and your father, like you learned from your father?
Not as old, no.
Uh-uh.
The old ones are pretty well all gone. I can't think of no. Reverend Jones is about the oldest one, next oldest one.
Yeah.
I don't think Reverend Jones is he old as I am?
I believe he's older.
I believe he's older.
Yeah.
Me and him, I bet, about the same age.
Very close to the same age, you're right.
Yeah.
But he didn't start barbecuing until 1937.
Mm-hmm.
So you got about 10 years jump on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 or 15 years jump.
And he has some, he's helped cook up here at Fancy Farm, St. Charles, St. Denis, place like that.
But he doesn't have a as big a commercial operation
as you,
or as you have had for sure.
No, yeah. If I was at a place, I could operate a big commercial business because I could get somebody to go along with me and help me.
How many shoulders do you think you could cook? Let's say how many shoulders could you cook? How many shoulders could you cook a week, say, if you were in a city? Right? How many shoulders could you cook a week and still turn out a good product?
I could turn out in 2 days. I could turn out 200 shoulders easy.
200 shoulders in 2 days.
Yeah.
And still have, and the barbecue would be good.
It'd be good. Mm. At one time I cooked 50.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Now, what do you think is the key to good barbecuing?
Well, it just takes time and patience with it. And you can't go in there and got to do something other over here, and I got to go over yonder and do something other. You got to when you put your mind on your barbecue, you got to sit right there and cook it.
Yeah.
Because you go off, and you're far up and go off, grease allowed to drop down, and blaze up when you catch all them shoulders far, you just have to call the fire department.
That's right. Yeah. Do you still use hickory wood and red oak wood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which do you use most of?
Well, you have no choice now because all of it's scarce.
All of it's scarce.
Yeah. You have to use both.
Both.
Yeah.
Hickory and red oak.
A lot of, but sometimes you can get nothing but hickory, and sometimes you can get nothing but oak.
Yeah.
But you have no choice now. You just have to get either one you can.
Yeah.
Because the wood is getting scarce. Sooner or later, it'll probably drain away.
Do you get your wood locally?
Just anywhere I can get it.
Yeah, does somebody...
Sawmills.
Oh, you don't have somebody who brings it to you?
Most of the time, I got most of my wood out of Towns, Illinois. They run a ski mill there.
Oh. Ski mill?
Mm-hmm. Not, they cut skis.
Yeah. Huh. And you get all the scraps left over from there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Cool.
Trimmings from that. And skis is made out of hickory. Uh-huh. And this man would cut these skis. He wouldn't shape them. He would just cut the lumber for them
mm-hmm.
and ship them across the water.
Yeah.
He was, I think he was a German.
Huh. And where is that?
Towns.
Towns, Illinois.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the South Kiro.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of it. I just didn't know where it was.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think then, see, some people say that that the most important thing in barbecuing is the type of wood that you use or the type or the sauce. Is the sauce important to you?
Sure, the sauce is important.
But you don't put the sauce on except when people ask for it.
That's right. Right today, I mean, these late years.
Uh-huh. Is the sauce that you're using now the same sauce that you got from your father, or have you modified it yourself?
It's pretty well the same thing, because the stuff you got then is better than the stuff you get now.
Oh, what things?
Yeah, everything has changed.
Yeah.
The pepper has changed, the vinegar has changed, and different things mm-hmm. have changed.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a fair question or not, but if you don't want to answer it, just say, I don't want to answer it, okay? Mm-hmm. Do you use part of the drippings from your meat in your sauce?
We don't now. We used to.
Used to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. What do you think is the... When you're trying to cook meat, do you still taste what you cook?
Sometimes, no.
Not so much.
Don't
huh?
worry about it. Yeah. I can pretty well look at it.
You can look at it. Yeah. Yeah.
I tell a lot of times I go with the lady down here to shop.
Mm-hmm.
I can look, go up and down the counter and tell good meat from
bad meat.
From bad meat.
Yeah.
Now, gosh.
when you used to barbecue, like if you wanted to go out and if you were helping your father out in the Vaughn's Grove, say.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to? What did you have to take besides? Well, you took some tobacco sticks to sharpen.
Yeah. Well, we kept them all the time because we'd use them sometimes 2 or 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Because that grease would preserve them and keep them in shape, and they'd be sharp.
Yeah.
All you have to do is just clean them off and stick them in that sheet.
Just take. Okay.
Yeah.
Took them and what else did you take? You took a.
We carried a. Stuff to make our sauce with. We carried our eats, and we carried clothes to change. I mean, changing clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you? What about you? Had to take a shovel.
Yeah, and we dig the pit, and sometime we'd go there and dig the pit the day beforehand because that was a pretty good job to dig the pit for a bit that almost to that house.
Yeah, well, now that's
and,
the...
And then we'd get a war, and then we'd get a, get a cross pieces to go and keep the... It would bag down in the pit if you didn't put them just about that far apart.
What did you use for that?
We'd use some... If we couldn't get iron pipe, we'd just use green poles, because it wouldn't burn, too. It never gets hot enough. Now, you can wrap something up in paper and put on there. If it gets hot enough to burn the paper, it's going to burn the meat.
Oh yeah. Okay. When you barbecue chickens, do you wrap them up?
No.
Never.
Never.
Do you spread them out?
Spread them out, just like you do a sheep.
Just like you do a sheep.
Yeah.
Huh.
And you turn the ribs down too.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. And then you can, the way you cook your meat every time, after it's been turned the last time, all the meat is up, isn't it? So you can just slice right off of it.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if you wanted to.
If you wanted to, you could turn it back over and all the meat would be up.
Oh,
of course, you want to, if some person wanted to, some people wanted a quarter, cut a quarter off. If you wanted 5-6 pound, you cut it off a quarter and carry it where you're going to serve it at.
Yeah. Did you ever serve sliced barbecue meat rather than chopped?
Sometimes. When it's sliced, it's not cooked good. It might be done, but it's tough. Anything that cooked all to pieces, you can't slice it. Barbecue that you have to slice off, that you can slice it off, it's not real barbecue. It's not good. It's not real tender.
Hmm.
You've had people to slice off a shoulder and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's much better chopped up.
Mm-hmm. Much better chopped up and cooked real done. All to pieces.
Yeah.
I might take a shoulder up this way and drop it, and all the meat would come off the bone.
That's when it's cooked well.
That's when it's cooked. That's when it's well done.
Yeah, just right.
Yeah.
How much sauce do you like? Like if I was going to give you a barbecue sandwich, and you wanted to find out, say I told you that I was barbecuing.
Yeah.
And you wanted to know how good a cook I was.
I never asked that question.
No, I know that. But suppose you just wanted to find out, and so you were going to sample some of my.
Oh yeah, I do that lots of times.
Yeah.
Go and get a barbecue sandwich.
Do you?
Yeah.
How do you order it? Do you order it with like a lot of sauce or medium sauce?
I order it. Sometimes you order a barbecue sandwich, put a lot of sauce on, you can't eat because it's so hot, you can't eat.
Too hot, yeah.
I just put mild barbecue. Mild sauce on.
Do you put salt on it too?
Yeah, you can.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Put a little salt.
Mm-hmm. I always find that I need salt. Oh, yeah. Just a little bit of sauce.
See, there's some people don't want any salt at all.
Yeah, I know.
Don't want no sauce, yeah. Just plain barbecue. A lot of people buy the pounds that way.
Yeah. Can you, I don't know if this is a good question, if you don't have to answer this one either if you don't want to. Can you tell me whose barbecue is good besides yours that you've tasted?
That I've tasted? When a person's hungry, yeah. I never buy a barbecue sandwich without them hungry. I never eat hardly a barbecue sandwich down here.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm barbecuing, I'd rather have something else. I cook just whatever my taste called for. I tell you, you can cook around that and slice so much that you're never hungry.
Yeah, man.
And I believe the odor from that grease and stuff, you breathe it in your system, it just... It'll do as much good as eating.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
You never be hungry.
Yeah. Huh. Did it used to be drink alcohol was associated with barbecue like it seems to be today?
No.
When you used to.
They have cold drinks.
Yeah.
So, when we used to barbecue, give them picnics. Out there, there'd be lots of drinks there. Some people would be drunk.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, when you used to have barbecues like at Bonds Grove and at Spring Hill, there'd be like a party associated with it. People would dance and all that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. They'd have sawdust.
Yeah.
Sprinkled down.
And
people would play. Fiddling, guitars.
Yeah.
We never had no band. Of course, later years, me and my brother built a place down here in Old Bind Bottom. And we had a band out of Kiro to come down in.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You built a place down there?
Yeah. I'd love to show you where it was at.
Yeah.
And this old iron bridge is going back to way back yonder.
Yeah.
Old iron bridge there. I guess it's. I don't know when it was built, but it was there when as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
And we went down there, and I guess it was 2 miles from anybody's, down in Old Bind Bottom at the creek.
Mm-hmm.
And we built us, then there's a sawmill pretty close. We went up there and got some scrap lumber and built us about a 75, 50 foot dance floor. and got out and went and bought us an old piano.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, we had some fun.
Not bad. How far is that from here? That'd be only about 3 miles, wouldn't it? That far.
About 3 miles.
Yeah.
Down the highway.
Down 51.
And then it's about a half a mile to walk where to cross Obine.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. When was that?
Oh, that was when I was about 17, 18 years old.
Really? That would have been, did you serve barbecue there?
Oh, yeah. We cooked barbecue and had cold drinks and bootleg whiskey.
Yeah.
And people from everywhere would come.
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah, I wish you had something like that now.
Oh, no. It wouldn't do. Because people these days and time, they got... they too rowdy. You couldn't get 500-600 people now to get together mixed. But they wouldn't start something, see, because they always have to be smart one in the bus.
Yeah. What? Go ahead.
And we would, some boys, some white boys, and they rode horses across this bridge. And a bunch of the boys got up there across the bridge and wouldn't let them across. And me and my brother had to go up there and let them cross the bridge.
The white boys wanted to come, did they?
Huh?
They wanted to come.
They wanted to go home.
Oh, I see.
They had done come across. Oh. They wanted to go home.
Yeah.
And there was a bunch up there on the bridge. I guess it's the picnic was far from here, that house over yonder from the bridge.
Yeah.
And we had went up there and made them cross. We had rode horses.
Yeah.
We used to walk from that Spring Hill over here to play ball.
Baseball?
Mm-hmm. It's not over. Just go right straight across the bottom. It's not over 4 or 5 miles, but you go around.
Yeah.
It's long.
Did you have any other establishments like that that you opened up? Did you ever have any place else where you cooked or?
No, that's about the only place that I've cooked.
Yeah.
Of course, when we give picnics like that, like we give down on the creek, we just dig a pit and cook it there.
Yeah.
At the picnic.
Yeah. When you had this music at the dances out, when you didn't have a band, you said, when you just had the... Were there local musicians who played?
Yeah, local. Yeah, they live around through the country.
Are there any of those musicians still alive?
Uh-uh. There's not any of them. No.
You don't know anybody who can play a fiddle or a banjo or a guitar?
No, not that I know of right now. Not offhand.
That's something that's just disappeared, isn't
just
it?
Just disappeared.
It really did.
There's nobody I get home just play a country, out in the country, fiddle or guitar even. Used to have banjos.
Yeah, it seemed that years ago, about every fourth or fifth person could play some sort of musical instrument. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, it's just not true.
And when I was a boy, if I'd have kept on, why I picked up an old banjo. We had a banjo, washboard, and also tub. And,
yeah.
And we just picked it up, you know. But that just faded away.
Yeah. You don't still have that banjo?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what it become that banjo.
Yeah. Okay.
You'd have to send off and get a permit now to put it up for the commercial or either cook to sell to customers.
Yeah, if somebody wanted to open up his own fish.
Yeah. You couldn't go along. Now, a person that's been in business long enough, they'll kind of go along with it. But you start to build one now.
It's hard, huh?
It's just pretty hard.
If somebody wanted to build a pit and they didn't want to build one in the ground, he'd build one above the ground.
They wouldn't. No, you couldn't without your own use. If I wanted to cook a shoulder of sheep, I could do it the way I wanted to. Mm-hmm. But you go sell to the public now.
Yeah. Well, what's the best way to build a? Most of the pits are concrete block, aren't they? Mm-hmm. You just build a. Is it one?
One block.
One block deep, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One block, and then your firebox have to be far brick because it's a lot of heat in there.
Yeah.
Hickory wood will burn up any stove. I don't care what kind it is. It'll warp. Because it's almost as hot as cold. It's the next thing to cold.
Is it?
Yeah.
Now your firebox is right in the middle of your pit, isn't
right
it?
Right in the middle.
Uh-huh. That's where most of them are, isn't it?
That's where most of them are.
And how big, when you build a fire up in there, do you just build a big roaring fire and let it really get going?
Yeah. That's in order to get cold start. Get my coals pretty quick.
Yeah.
First thing I go there, I build my fire.
Yeah.
Then the next thing, I clean my pits off. The next thing, I put my meat on, and you go from there.
Mm-hmm. How long does it take you to get the fire up roaring to where it's good coals?
It takes about an hour to get cold.
Let it really burn, and then you got coals after about an hour. How do you clean your pit off?
Oh, you have a wire brush.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, if it gets too bad, you can burn them all.
Yeah. Now, your meat that's sitting inside the concrete block pit, is about 16, 18 inches off of the coals.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And your meat, is that on wire?
Yeah, it's on, it's not wire, you don't call it wire, it's steel.
Like a mesh?
Yeah, steel mesh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it's sitting on that steel mesh.
Yeah.
All right, and that's, and you turn that about twice.
Yeah.
Okay. And on top of that, whatever you're cooking, okay, there's a piece of
metal. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the way your pit is, I'm just trying to describe it for the tape here. Well, your pit is, you've got a rope lever thing that you can pull down, and that raises that metal off so you can.
You've got a weight.
Right, got a weight.
You can make a 100-pound top, you can just take one finger and raise it if you got heavy enough weight.
Yeah. Was that your idea?
Oh yeah, and you just raise it any if you raise it that high it'll stay, and if you raise it that high it'll stay, and just high as you. That's crazy.
And you designed that yourself.
Uh huh.
Well, that's really good. And that metal serves to keep the heat in, right?
Yeah, keep the heat.
When you're cooking, you keep that metal down.
Keep that metal down.
All right, and that keeps the heat in there.
Keep the heat in there.
Now, in the old days, that heat just went.
Just went in the air.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to figure up a way. You know, the most of the heat is in this firebox.
Yeah. Right.
If you can get in a way to catch that heat, have it made.
Oh, yeah. A big concrete type pipe thing that had run from one end of it to the other so that the heat would go in. In there.
No, yeah, some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot let that, a lot of people, like this is the pit, they build a fire here and have metal here and they come in under there. But that's pretty dangerous.
Yeah.
And a person would have to be there at all times and know how to do that. That'd be the main thing.
Yeah. Well, you said that you've dug pits 120 feet long, as much as 100.
Oh yeah.
To cook, well, that'd be, you'd be cooking lots of animals. And would that always be about, if it's 120 feet long, it'd still only be about 4 feet wide?
Yeah, it'd have to be that wide, the length of a sheet.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And you just go down the row and just turn it when you have to turn it. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's always only about 16, 18 inches deep.
It's 6 to 18 inches deep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.